Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above. Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. What the world needs now, my brothers and sisters, is for each one of us to open those gifts that we received at baptism, unwrap them, pray to God, try to discern what those gifts are, and then use them to build up the kingdom of God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to be with each and every one of you. I say it all the time, if it wasn't for you, there would be no In His Sign Catholic Radio. And so through your prayers that underpin this ministry, through your sacrifices, and through your giving, we are able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of life. To be a voice for those who have no voice. To be able to share the good news with those that really need to hear the good news after listening to all the bad news in the world today. So once again, I want to praise and thank God for each of you, because you're the evangelist. Without you, this voice would not be heard. And I also want to thank all of you up there at the shrine and Bensalem, the Sisters of the Most Blessed Sacrament, who have partnered with us, who have believed so much in this mission that they have taken us to prayer every day before the Blessed Sacrament. Nothing else could be more profitable than to be in Christ's presence, because as Jesus said to Mary, she had chosen the better part. So what a part to be a part of all of you sisters up there, the Sisters of the Most Blessed Sacrament, of Mother Catherine Drexel, Saint Mother Catherine Drexel, and always a blessing to get your notes, always a blessing to hear from you, and without you praying for us, I don't know where we'd be. I have a special guest with us today, and it's with a joyful heart that I introduce to you my friend, Lucio Francesco. Welcome.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's a joy to be here.
We met a couple years ago doing one of our healing masses, actually. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you'll meet somebody and just have that click. And I knew there was something very special about Lucio. Matter of fact, I call her Lucia often. Lucia. Light. And I asked her a while back, would she be part of our prayer teams when we do healing masses? And she graciously said yes. And so we started to become better acquainted. And she's been a beautiful part of this healing ministry. I can tell you that, as I often tell each of you, and I say it time and time again in all of our retreats, anytime I go out to speak, we're all called to be wounded healers. Mm. And it's that part of our hearts that have been wounded and been healed by Christ that allows us then to have such redemption in that suffering that, yes. you know, that we can then reach out and bring that healing gift to others. So I want to tell you a little bit about, I'm going to let her tell you herself. Lucille is a wife and a mother, Dr. Jerry Francesco, and a neat guy, a really neat guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, and he's a joy as well. But Lucille and I were talking a little bit ago, and I asked her about a foundation she had,
Martha's Foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask her in her own words to share a little bit about, and I just asked her this, believe me, you know me, I show up, that's it. And I said, you know what, I think we'll talk about that today on the air, because maybe today someone's listening and they've lost hope. Maybe, you know, you've got bad news from the doctor, or maybe you have lost your job and you have no way to provide for your family. Or maybe you're in such a mode with all that's going on in the world that you're incapacitated to move forward. Maybe you're overwhelmed today with raising your family, and maybe you've in a situation where you've got a broken relationship, a broken family. Maybe your children are walking in places that they shouldn't be, or yourselves, or your husbands, wives. And so we're always in need of hope, because hope never disappoints. And that's why I think I've asked Lucille today to share about a gift of hope in her own life. And she's going to share about why this came about and how her husband was so faithful. So let's hear about it.
Yeah. Well, it came about, I had breast cancer in 87, recovered from that, thought I was in charge, Miss Powerful, you know, I can do anything. I know what to do. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. I'm a businesswoman. I'm a career woman. I can do it. So I did go right back to living the life I was leading, which got me into the breast cancer disaster in the first place. And about 11 years later, I went to the doctors for a checkup, and she said, you need surgery tomorrow. And I said, tomorrow? Why? And she said, you have endometrial cancer, quite an advanced stage of endometrial cancer. So I said, I'm not doing any such thing until I do some research. Well, to make a long story short, yes, I had to have surgery, and the surgery was a hysterectomy. And when they did the hysterectomy, they found that I had endometrial cancer in three places. It wasn't metastasized. Right. It was three individual separate growths that had been growing for a little over 2 years. And the interesting thing was that they were ovarian cancer cells in the endometrium. Mm. So that created a puzzle. The solution, they say, is hysterectomy. I had my hysterectomy. 6 weeks later, I've recovered. I go to the doctor and I say, okay, I'm all done, right? I said, do I need chemo? And he said, well, would you like chemo? I said, you make it sound like chocolate cake. No, I wouldn't like chemo, but do I have to have chemo? Well, I think you should look into it. So I went to see a doctor. And he said, well, yes, maybe no, maybe you should have radiation. So I went to the second one. Well, maybe you should start with radiation and not have chemo. I went to the third one. To make a long story short, I had seven opinions, all of them different. Hmm. Nobody agreed on what I should do. So Jerry and I, by then, going through this experience, and as our lives changed through this experience, including the breast cancer, we had drawn closer and closer to the Blessed Mother, closer and closer to our dear Lord, realizing that we do not have the power. We are not in charge. We don't make the decisions. We are being guided if we allow ourselves to be guided. So obviously this was something that I needed to experience. So we prayed and prayed and said the rosary, and I meditated and prayed some more and asked for discernment. And I came out of it and I said to my husband, we're going to start with chemo. And Jerry said, well, you know, I think more than half of them thought maybe radiation would be the way to start. I said, I don't care what they think. They don't know. They pretty much said they don't know. I'm listening to my inner voice, and my inner voice says, you start with chemo. So we started with chemo. They wanted to do six treatments. I had the first treatment. It took about 3 or 4 weeks for my blood levels to come back before I could have the second treatment. I had the second treatment. It was more than 6 weeks before my blood levels came back. you can't have another treatment till your blood levels come back. I had the third one. It was almost 3 months. I said, you know what? I'm not having any more chemo. Oh, you can't do that, the doctor said. You must have 6 treatments. No, I said, I'm hearing that I'm done. If I have another one, I will die, and this is not my time to die. So I'm going on to radiation therapy. One of the doctors there said to me, you don't need to drive all the way out here, because it was a long distance to go to this particular facility. He said, you go to your local hospital. I said, oh, I would never go there. You go there. There's a woman there. She's state of the art. You go and talk to her. You have your treatments there. You listen to me. He was just a young guy. I thought, oh my, very cocky guy to tell me this. So I went. She was a dream. And she told me that they would radiate me from my breastbone to my pubic bone and side to side. I said, oh my God, you're going to burn everything in my body, my pancreas, my intestines, my liver. I'll be in surgery the rest of my life trying to repair things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. She said, well, that's the way we do it. I said, well, I don't want to do that. Find another way. She said, Lucille, there is no other way. That's the way it's done. There's another way. I said, now, how did I know that? I didn't know a blessed thing. Mm-hmm. I said, there's another way. She said, well, if I find another way, will you do it? I said, I will do it. So about 3 weeks later, she called me. She said, you're right. There's a hospital in Texas who does it a different way. Will you be willing to do it? Absolutely. Well, we don't know how to do it. She said, we have to train our physicist. I said, you mean I'll be a guinea pig? She said, pretty much. All right. I said, I feel that this is what we need to do. So we did it. It's called Forefield. And we did it for 6 weeks. Well, you have to go every day for 6 weeks. So every day for 6 weeks, I put on my nicest dress, my fanciest hat. I had no hair, no eyebrows, no nothing, no hair on my body at all. I looked like I was half dead. But I got all dressed up with a hat and everything, and I went every day for my radiation treatment. And finally, about the third or fourth day, the nurse says to me, where do you go when you leave here? Oh, I said, I go home. I'm so dead tired. Where am I going to go? She says, well, why are you all dressed up? Everybody comes in their sweats. Oh, no. I said, this is psychological warfare. That's the right. Lord's already told me I'm fine. I'm just going through the motions now. Well, she was amazed. And sure enough, I did it every day for 6 weeks. At the end of the 6 weeks, they told me I had to have implants. Oh, my Lord, I had no idea I was going to have implants. So you go into this giant room, they give you this treatment, and everybody runs out of the room and says, it's not safe to be in here with you. You'll just be here by yourself. Oh, joy. I said, thank you so much. I love knowing that. So I had that for 3 or 4 times. And then I got through it. I went for my checkup about a month or two later, and I'm being examined. And the doctor's going, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. I said, what's wrong? Is it back? Is the cancer back? What's wrong? No, no. And you know what women know what it's like to have a physical exam. And she runs out of the room. I said, don't leave me here like this, spread eagle on the table. Right. What's going on? And other, come in and see this. Come in and see this. The most interesting thing of all, I had no scar tissue.
That is amazing.
It was a joyful thing from God. During this experience, when I got really down to the nitty-gritty of it, and I was pretty well, said, Lord, this is it. I don't want any more of this. I've had a year of my life being turned upside down. I'm sick all the time. I don't want to do this anymore. Enough. And I opened the Bible, and that was when I read, you will be pruned, but you will grow again. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the Lord had me in the palm of his hand. And during this time, my husband, who was, of course, praying for me all the time, was going to a church every day, which I didn't know, and praying. And one day in this church, he found this little card that was a sort of a novena to St. Mm-hmm. Martha. And he started saying it every day. And that's how we developed the St. Martha Foundation. That's devoted to her, because we feel that she guided us, in addition to the dear Blessed Mother, who we said the rosary every day. We went to church every day. We prayed every day. Even going to Mass every day, people coming up to you and saying, we don't know you, and you don't know us, but we're praying for you. Yeah. We see that you're here every day, and we see that you're fighting this battle, and we're with you. So learn to say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So many things came into my life, and so many people came into my life, and I knew that the Lord was guiding me, that I just needed to turn myself over to him, and he would take care of everything.
And you certainly surrendered completely to him.
Completely. It was the only way.
Yeah. And one of the things, you know, as you share your beautiful story, one of the things is that you were at one place and thought you had it all together.
I did.
Thought you really didn't need that, quote, crutch of religion.
Exactly.
Or crutch of, you know, having those beliefs in Christ, somebody greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God sort of does knock us down so that we'll land on our knees, you know, or knock us down so that we'll look up. I know I've been there too. and isn't it amazing once you realize that God in his infinite mercy really would speak a word of comfort in our hearts at our lowest moment, when you thought you, like you said, I can't do this anymore.
Right, I can't go on.
Mm-hmm. And you felt God, you know, obviously calling you home. Mm-hmm. That's it, I can't do anymore. And he gives you that word.
Yes.
That word that would bring new life into your heart and your mind and your spirit to give you the grace to go on, because he spoke to your heart and said, I'm not finished with you yet.
Exactly.
I might prune you, but you're going to have new growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it began a whole new life, not only for you, but for Jerry as well.
Absolutely.
And I know you have a beautiful daughter.
Yes, and a
and
son.
And how would she, oh, I didn't know you had a son.
You had a son too.
And how was it with your children through all that?
They were horrified. They were pretty sure that I was at the end of everything, that, you know, I wasn't going to survive. Nobody survived. I had fourth stage.
Right.
I didn't know. That was another thing. The Lord so protected me. All along, I thought I was third stage. I thought, well, I'm not fourth stage. It can't be that bad.
Right.
But as it got worse and worse, it wasn't until it was all over and we saw the surgeon. And he said, you know, there aren't very many fourth stage patients walking around. You're an oddity, he said. No one survives fourth stage. And I turned to my husband and I said, did you know I was fourth stage? Yes, he said, all along. But I said, you never told me. No, he said, I never told you.
Wow.
But that was amazing.
Indeed.
That I was protected from knowing. Because, you know, sometimes when you know the worst.
Yep, the mind is powerful.
Exactly. And you'll just go that direction. But right. I didn't give up. I mean, and the Lord instilled something in me. I think now when we talk about Pentecost and the breath of the Holy Spirit, yeah. that he must have breathed his breath into me yeah. to keep me going, to make me believe. And then going for the test for a year afterwards, every 6 months you have to right. have a test, anticipating, you know. Oh, is this the time they're going to say it's back? You know?
Exactly.
But I said, it's not coming back. He said, I know you believe that. He said, but you have to have the tests anyway.
Right.
So I said, all right, I'll do it. But you'll see. You'll see I'm fine. It's not right. coming back. And then I had a bout with lung cancer, or what they thought was lung cancer.
Right.
I had a spot on my lung, so I had to have surgery for that. They said, well, this is lung cancer now. This is the next phase. No, I said, it's not. And I knew. How did I know? I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I heard so clearly in my head, Lucille, you do not have lung cancer.
Right.
So I had the surgery. The doctor said to me just before the surgery, don't kid yourself. Don't go into the surgery thinking you're going to come out fine, because you're not. You have lung cancer.
Right.
I said, all right, you'll see.
I felt the same way when they told me I had renal cell carcinoma.
Really?
You know? Yeah. And I knew in my heart. I can't even explain it. I knew it was the Lord giving me that, as scripture tells us, confident assurance.
Yes.
And he gave me that confident assurance that this was not going to lead to death. And praise God.
Praise God.
It is, you know, you go and every 3 months, then every 6 months, and once
yes.
a year.
Yes.
And again, it's a testimony for others around you as
yes.
well as a confirmation for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we particularly as women, you know, women fail to recognize within themselves their own gifts oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
And men do too. But in particular, women are, as I said last night when we gathered at St. Thomas the Apostle, all the women that gathered there as
yes.
I spoke. And I said, the one thing is about a woman is she's just by nature. God created her to be a nurturer, to be a giver of life. To be one that's constantly giving, mm-hmm. giving to your children, giving to your mate, giving to your those that are in your responsibility, and we sometimes fail to take that moment
mm-hmm.
to be still and to receive from God, and that's really what happened with you. I mean,
yep.
he knocked you right off
he
your
locked
feet.
Me down. I had no place to go. I had to turn to him.
Yeah.
I had to rely on him. And when someone said to me once, you have a very Pollyannish attitude towards life. I said, it's not Pollyannish. I said, it's faith.
Yeah.
It's trust. It's believing in God. If you just turn yourself and surrender to him,
right.
turn yourself over to him,
right.
you don't have to worry about a thing.
That's
he will
right.
guide you.
Absolutely. You know, I remember, of course, I had a lot of young children, and but they weren't babies. When Jim died, they were really young.
They were young.
But when I went in, they had already lost their father. And I'm sure they were thinking they were going to lose their mother, you
mm-hmm.
know, several years ago. And I remember very clearly my own son, Christopher. Like you said, you know, your children thought you were going to be a goner. And I remember the look in his eyes, and all the kids were there. But he said to me, "Mommy, are you going to die?" And I said, "If my work is done, God will call me home. And if it isn't, I'll see you in 8.5 hours."
That's great.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But in my heart, I knew without any inner doubt, mm-hmm. and I'd like to ask you if you've experienced this yourself. Without any inner doubt, I knew in my heart that whatever God was doing in my life, he had a purpose and a plan beyond my own imagination, beyond anything in my own knowledge. And that's what I had to trust. And I trusted that completely.
Yes.
I can honestly say when they were wheeling me down, I had not the slightest, no fear in my heart. That's a grace from God. I am not that kind of a person, you know. I love life. I love to live it to the full. I love my family. And to not have that fear, mm-hmm. I knew it was God protecting me. Just like you said, you knew that it had to be God protecting you.
Clearly.
You know, and I think sometimes, and particularly again, I'll say this again, particularly in women, sometimes we're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I said last night, and if we're that busy, we're too busy. And so for you today, as I said, I'm talking here with Lucille Francesco, and she's just a delight. And it's a story of her journey. And as you know, you've been at many of my retreats, many talks, I encourage everybody to always tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
You have a story to tell, each and every one of you. You don't recognize it as a story, but when you really ponder how God maybe came to you in the most troublesome time of your life, when you thought you couldn't go on, and now you look back and say, you know that had to be God that walked you through or carried you through those times. And maybe you're out there today and maybe you're listening. Maybe you've had a moment in your life where you thought, like Lucille, I can't do this anymore. I can't go on. And in God's perfect timing, he speaks to your heart and his mind and your mind and your spirit. And he fills you with that confident assurance that it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right, that God is present with me. I'm not alone here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you had Jerry who was...
Oh, he was a saint. He was wonderful, so supportive, so caring, so patient, so loving.
Yeah. And you know, Jerry, being a doctor...
Mm-hmm. He's a pharmacist, a pharmacy doctor.
Being... involved in medicine, mm-hmm. and particularly a pharmacist, that
yes.
he knows that there's many, many different ways that God can work through medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes people think, you know, well, if you had faith, you wouldn't have needed that. That's a lie from hell, yeah. You know? If God's going to heal you, he's going to heal you, period.
Yes, period.
And if he's going to heal you through medicine, he's going to do what he has to do to get you whole.
Mm-hmm.
And can he heal you in a blink of an eye? Certainly could have healed us in a blink of an eye. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
And has he healed other people in a blink of an eye? Yes.
I've seen it.
But oftentimes, for his purpose and his plan that we don't always know, he can heal us in processes. You know, it's a healing is a process. Even if we are healed instantaneously, when we're healed physically, instantaneously, our emotions, our spirit, all that has to work together in that body for it to function properly. And so God's timing is so perfect. And his love for us goes beyond anything that we could ever imagine or experience. And he's going to do the very best for us. And I can say this. Believe me, and you know, I'm sure there's those out there that are listening and say it's easy for you to say.
It's not easy
mm-hmm. to say, but God would have us say the things that we experienced to give hope maybe to those who have lost hope, or to give encouragement on those times when life is knocking you down hard and heavy,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's those those witnesses of these sharings of these testimonies. You know, one of your people said, I love one of the girls when you had a woman's retreat, a woman of fire retreat for me at your house. 45 women gathered, and they said, when you said every single test will become a testimony, that really hit home because they weren't going through this in vain. And that's the good news. God is always working in us and through us for his good pleasure. And if there's something that's going on in your life today and you'd like to share maybe how God has, you know, spoke to your heart or your mind or your spirit or just gave you confident assurance when you needed it so desperately, maybe you'd like to call in. Maybe you have a question you'd like to ask Lucille, or maybe you'd like to share. You know, Jesus loves when everybody comes back and says thank you. What did he say with the lepers? You know, where's
yes,
the other nine?
Where are the other nine, right?
So maybe God has touched your life. Maybe not physically, maybe emotionally. Maybe you were in a place that was such a hard place to be in. Maybe you suffered emotionally. Maybe you had suffered a broken heart or a broken spirit. And just as surely as God healed physically, he healed you emotionally. And if that's the case and you'd like to say a thank you, Jesus, feel free to give a call.
Let me add to that a minute, too. I had an emotional healing, too, because I didn't realize that I had so much fear and anger locked up inside of me that had to do with my childhood.
Perfect.
And in the course of this, not that I had any necessarily horrible experiences, but I felt very alone, apparently, as a child. And the opportunity came for me to let that child out of that closed room.
Right.
And when she got out of the room, she took off. She came through, and someone said to me, why can't you get out of the room? And I said, there is no door. There's only windows with closed shades. I can't get out. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that I could get out, I was making myself the prisoner.
That's right.
No one else was keeping me prisoner. I was. When I let that child out, that added to my recovery. That
absolutely.
Added to my ability to literally fly along with the Lord, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, my angels, you know.
Right.
Just carry me off because I am ready now. I am open.
You were free. Free at last.
Free at last. And I finally understood what that meant.
Yeah.
Free at last.
Exactly. When I do inner healing, I speak a lot about that. Even with, you know, forgiveness is the very key to healing.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's ourselves we have to forgive.
Yes.
Sometimes it's God. We're holding anger towards God. Sometimes it's to our parents or maybe to those who were unkind to us and we felt rejected and alienated and alone. Emotional healing is powerful indeed because oftentimes it's a wound inside that we can see a broken leg, we can even see scars from cancer operations.
Mm-hmm.
But when those wounds are deep within our heart and soul, we can't see them in other people. And oftentimes people wear masks to cover up the woundedness that lies within them. And until they too open that door and allow the child within to be healed, they're not really free. And I don't care if it's physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. The beauty of God is that he wants us whole.
Yes.
He doesn't want us halfway. He does everything 100%. So he wants us whole and well. And, you know, I remembered when I was getting my operation for the kidney. And I remember very clearly when I was being wheeled down, I remember like the Lord just saying to me, you know, this is surgery, but I'm the divine physician. And sometimes to get, you know, you have to get cancer out. It hurts. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be cut open and you've got to heal. But it's painful to do the surgery. But guess what? that disease, that poison is out of your system, and you will have new growth. You will heal. And that's how it is with emotional healing, too. Mm-hmm. It might hurt. It might be painful to go back and realize, wow, those wounds are still there. I thought I was over them. And really, they've just been suppressed for so long. Mm-hmm. So my brothers and sisters, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Again, you're listening to What the World Needs Now, and I have in the studio with me today Lucille Francisco, and I probably pronounce her name a different way every time I say it. But anyway, she's a delight. And give us a call, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 if you want to give us a call and a thank you, Jesus, or you want to have a question or talk about how this program has touched you, feel free. You can call toll-free at 1-888-343-34. Hold on a minute. 1-888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. All of the staff at In His Sign donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. You are listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy. And if you'd like to call in today, please feel free. I don't usually open the lines up, but I'm going to open them up today. Usually on Tuesday, I don't so much. But I think what we've talked about healing and hope and God being ever present to us, touching us in the ways that we need to be touched emotionally, physically, spiritually. So give us a call, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-343-2484. We've talked a little bit about healing and the different aspects of healing, and Lucille shared her story, talked a little bit about my own. We gathered last night. I opened it up by saying to everybody, happy birthday. Happy birthday. This, and everybody was sort of looking, you know, wide-eyed. I was like, Pentecost, happy birthday, the birthday of the church. And I brought a little present for each one of them, because I said, if it's somebody's birthday, you bring a gift. And so I brought a little gift of a book to each person as my gift to them for their birthday. But oftentimes we forget that the power of the Spirit is with us. And that's the power you were drawing on, even though you didn't know it at first.
I didn't.
And that's the power I was drawing on when I didn't know it. So my brothers and sisters, one thing we always have to remember is that if we're so full, we're full of all the material things in the world, and we're full of all the pride and anger and all these things that fill us to capacity, then we have to empty ourselves out so that Christ can fill us with His Spirit. The Spirit that he sent into each of our lives, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. You know, He said to the apostles, it is better for you that I go. They must have thought, what are you, crazy? Better for us? And it was, because now Christ's Spirit is at work in our lives all the time. It's not only when He goes to a town, He can minister to them, and when He comes over here, He can talk to them. He left us His Spirit so that we can be renewed, healed, be strengthened, filled with grace for all of us. It's a free gift, a tremendous gift that He gave us. We take for granted, as I said to the women last night. Have you reaped the benefits? Have you experienced what God has left us in the power of the Spirit? Our Holy Father, I love Him. And one of the things He said, I think it was on His first Wednesday audience, and He talked about the Good Shepherd, and that picture that we all know and love has no handle on the door, so we have to open it from the inside. You opened it to let that child out, the wounded child, so that Christ could come in and fill you with His healing love. And of course, that Good Shepherd, we see Him, that handle's there. From the inside, you have to open the door. But He said something profound, simple but profound. And He said, now is the time, my brothers and sisters, now is the time we've let Christ in. We've opened the door and we have let Him in. But now He's knocking from the inside. He wants to come out to the world. Let Him flow out of you to others. Now, I paraphrase that a little bit because I don't have it in front of me, but that's what He said, and I thought that was beautiful. And we all, as these women last night, I said to them, you now have the message. What are you going to do with it? We're called to take that message out. God entrusted a woman, Mary, to bring forth the Savior of the whole world. Her role was to be born, to bring Jesus into the world. And now her role is, quite frankly, to bring the world to Jesus through her. And in this beautiful month of May, isn't it fitting that towards the end of Our Lady's month, again, the Spirit and Our Lady are brought so close together, because she's the bride of the Spirit of God. And as He hovered over Mary so that she would conceive a child that would be called the Son of the Most High God, we too, the Holy Spirit hovers over each of us, that we can bring Christ forth, give birth to Christ in us and through us to the world. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's an amazing, amazing journey, isn't it?
At the same time, it's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a
pure
gift. To be able to work with Him and let Him work through you.
Yes.
It's just amazing. To continue to ask, how can I serve you? Where do you want me, Lord? How can I serve you? And I think that's all you have to say. And he will give you that opportunity if you want it, but you have to let him know you're willing.
Exactly.
And if you're not willing in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, it's not going to happen.
Right.
He's not going to force it on you.
Exactly.
You have
right.
to be willing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We say Mary raised Jesus to be a gentleman, and gentlemen do not impose themselves on
right,
people.
Right.
They don't break into their homes. They don't talk when other people are talking. So we have to take time to listen, and we have to have the stillness to be able to be still. And as he says, know that I am God. Mm-hmm. I'm not, he is. You know, we are not, God is. Mm. And that's a lesson in itself that each one of us often have to find out on the journey.
One of the avenues that I have found, and probably very profoundly the last year and a half or two, is going to Mass every day and receiving the Eucharist.
Yeah.
There can be nothing more powerful in your life than having the Eucharist every day. It's the rudder of the ship. It's the core of everything that we could possibly do. To have him alive within us, come to us every day in the Mass. If there's any way to get to the Mass on a daily basis or three or four times a week, it's not enough on Sunday.
It is.
It's not enough.
Right.
There's so much more that he's willing to give you if you're willing to receive.
Absolutely. I mean, it would be like telling somebody to eat a meal once a day and don't eat the rest of the week.
Exactly.
You know, because eventually you're going to starve, and we are starving spiritually.
Yes.
Because it's his life at Eucharist. It is his life that he gives us. He tells us that he came that his joy might be complete in us. He says that he came that we might have life and have it to the full. It's his life that he nurtures us, feeds us, strengthens us. And, of course, there are people that cannot get to Mass daily, maybe for physical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're caregivers and they can't leave the home. Maybe they're young parents, young mothers and fathers. They can't take that time. They're getting their kids off.
Mm-hmm.
All different reasons. But there's no reason that we couldn't take that quiet time and pray for a spiritual communion.
Exactly.
To ask the Lord to come. He will come to us. You know, he will.
No question.
And take that time. You know, I told the girls last night, even if they start with 5 minutes a day, if we don't start praying, you know, if you don't start, if you don't take that step, then nothing can come back. You have to empty yourself, give it away, and allow God to fill you. One of the things I noticed last night with the women that were there, and I see it in men all the time, they want the Lord Jesus in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until they avail themselves to something like last night or at your house or to a retreat that they realize that maybe they are missing something. They think they have it all together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not until God calls you to a place where he wants you to be still and to look deep within your own heart. I know he's done it with me. He wants us to look deep within ourselves and, you know, where are we?
Yeah.
And I think I use it at Lent a lot. You know, we go in for a yearly checkup physically to see how we're doing. We take our cars in every year to get inspected.
Yes.
But how often do we do a spiritual inventory? And it's needed because the minute we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm here. I want to belong to you. I want to decrease. I want you to increase within me. Then he moves so tenderly to begin healing areas in our lives that we didn't even know we needed healing. And one of the women, the cute, that row that stayed after I was done speaking last night, one of the women said, Kathleen, you said that even though we might not feel anything tonight, God has poured out his spirit and we will begin to see, others will begin to see something different in us. I said, that's right. So they said, so even if we don't feel it, we're going to start living it? I said, absolutely, because you came with a pure heart, a pure open spirit.
Mm.
God never sends us away empty. You know, he continually nurtures us, strengthens us, gives us grace. So if you're listening today and maybe you've sort of burned out, you know, maybe you used to go to daily mass and maybe for some reason or another you stopped. Maybe you went to confession on a regular basis and for one reason or another you've stopped partaking of that sacramental life of the church. Well, I know from my own self, as I shared a story with the women last night about myself being away from the sacramental life of the church, you start to die spiritually.
Yes.
You don't recognize
it. You don't
know
it. You don't realize it. Yeah.
And then a little more until after a while you wondered, how the heck did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a beautiful opportunity for all of us. I mean, here's a year of faith. We're still in the month of our Mother Mary, where we honor Mother in the month of May. It's a beautiful time for Pentecost. It's new birth for each and every one of us. New birth to be renewed, to have that ruah, that breath of the Spirit come upon us. And it's something that every single day, every day I ask the Spirit to fill me every day of my life, because I know I need the Spirit of God with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that I think we fail to recognize is that conversion is daily. It's daily for all of us.
It's like a daily renewal.
It's a daily renewal. Mm-hmm. And when we realize that, who doesn't want to be renewed?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to be filled with the Spirit? And when we realize it, we can experience that power of the infilling of the Spirit every single day. That's what allows us to be at peace when you wonder, how could this person be at peace? That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our peace. It's Christ's peace at work in us.
Mm-hmm.
Even to be, you know, in the darkest of times, Christ is our light. It's not our light. It's his light in us that dispels that darkness in our own life. So I think for you and for me and for all those that have walked a journey of that healing, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, now is the time, my brothers and sisters. Now is the time. The church, Mother Church, needs you. Mother Church needs you. And she, as a mother, Our Lady is Mother of the Church. And she wants to nurture her children. She wants to have you feed and nourish on the sacramental life of the church, because she knows that is what will get us home to eternal life. Otherwise, we're not getting there. What are some of the things... let me ask you this, as a wife, a mother, for yourself, Lucille, what are some of the things that you maybe have experienced in this newness of life that you've had since you really surrendered everything to the Lord? Do you find you have a new perspective on life since you've suffered so and God has healed you?
Absolutely. You begin to cherish things that you just took for granted. And I know it sounds very familiar when you hear people say, oh, it's the birds and the trees and the sky and the sun, but it really is true. And you begin to realize that the things that you put so much stock in, that you put your energy into, are not the valuable things in life,
right.
Are not the things that will really enrich you or nourish you or give you comfort. It's taking time with others, speaking to people, listening to them tell their stories, for instance, sharing with them, being with them, and praying together. I think praying together is so powerful, and I don't think it was a casual thing when the Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. Because most people will tell you, and I find it more and more, some with men who are willing to share it, but a lot with women, when they say, I don't know how to pray.
Yeah.
How do I pray? What do you say when you pray? It's just a conversation. It's just a sharing, you know. It's like opening your heart and giving yourself up.
Right.
And just in your very secret own space. And that's something that I found that I can do regularly, to share that regularly. It gives you such great peace. And then you get answers that just come. Someone will walk up to you and say something to you, and it's like an answer to something you were questioning.
Right.
And how did that happen? The Lord sent it to you. Or an occasion comes up for you to do something powerful and shine in an area you never thought you would have an opportunity to function in. Right. And the next thing you know, the Lord's put you in a space where you're affecting other people's lives in a positive way.
Right.
And you never knew that was going to be possible.
Right.
And people start to come to you. Why? Because I believe that they really do see that you care, that you have love within you that you didn't know you could share with others. And it's an opportunity to help them grow and come out of themselves and be more than they thought they could be. They say, oh, I can't do that, or I wouldn't do that, or I don't do that. Yes, you can. You can do it. I'll help you. I'll be there with you. We'll talk about it. We'll do it. And I think he has sent so much of that kind of opportunity into my life to help me to be more than I thought I could be.
Right.
To be courageous. Step out. What could possibly happen? You know, nobody's going to arrest you or criticize you, really, because they say, wow, you did that. You had the courage to do it. Well, I'm doing it because it's enriching me, and the Lord is encouraging me to do it. So there are so many opportunities.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you gathered the women at your house for the retreat day that I came to
do. That's exposing yourself. You know, when you do that
sort
of thing, you're exposing yourself.
Exactly what I was going to say. That was your show and tell.
Yeah.
You know? And look how the women responded
to
it.
They were hungry for it.
They were starving for it. Yeah. But if you don't open up your heart and you don't care so much about that group of women that you provide the environment.
Right.
Just the environment. Provide the environment. Open your heart and in warmly inviting them in.
Right.
Look what has happened. I mean, from there, look what Lisa did.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless her. She was so hungry and was filled that she went and took it to her parish.
She wanted to share.
She was like the woman at the well.
Exactly.
And that's what you were. You were the woman at the well because, okay, I'm gonna bring you all together. We're gonna have and it was a wonderful time. I mean, it was a beautiful from morning till the close of it. It was a spiritual powerhouse. And again, it was your vulnerability to say. You could have said, "Oh, I don't want all them people in my house."
Right. You know? What will they think of me? Who do I think I am doing this?
But you didn't. You said yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And because you said yes, look how it impacted so many other women's lives. And that's the good news. We step out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
And we're here not for us. God didn't touch us for us. He touched us for others.
Mm-hmm.
And he touched others for us.
Yes.
And I think when we begin to realize that we are all in this together and that we're called to help each other on this journey called life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes I say we need to see God with skin on. Well, you were God with skin on for those women, Lucille. Because we know intellectually, we know that God's in the Eucharist. We know that his son, Jesus Christ, was crucified, shed his blood for each one of us. But something that you said when we talked a moment before we went on the air, you said you touched Rose when I said, "He is alive."
Yeah.
And you said, "Wow, that went right through me." And I touched Rose and I said, "Did you feel that? He is alive."
He is alive.
And when we realize that in those moments of grace, we know that there's no situation, no circumstance, no trouble that can stifle that gift of Christ's presence in the Eucharist, because he's really there. He is alive. And because he's alive, he will, as long as we're called to have life in us, he will walk that journey with us.
Mm-hmm.
And especially through Eucharist, through the sacraments of confession.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like diving into on a sticky, hot day and diving into a cool water. How blessed we are as Catholics.
Yes.
How blessed we are.
And how we so much want others to share in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you can only, I think it's true, you can only do it by living it.
Yeah.
Because by your life, you will show them, you will teach them, hopefully.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I need a lot of work.
Well, don't we
and
all?
A lot of practice. But I do think that's the way to bring people.
Well, you used beauty for when they know that you love. Mm-hmm. God is love.
God is love.
God is love. And that's the most powerful gift we have. You know, it's an old saying we heard a time ago, make love, not war. But the truth of the matter is, it will not be by all the greatest military in the world. Mm. It won't be by any force or any aggressiveness. It'll be by love this world will be changed, even if it's one heart at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's the good news. We can make a difference in the world.
Yeah. With our prayer.
With our prayer.
No question.
We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to speak on a platform. You don't have to have a radio program.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to love in His name. And that's God moving through you.
Yeah.
That's God moving through us. And we can do that. You know, I had a friend that was... she had a disease and she became incapacitated, and more of an acquaintance through the years. And she said, I'm an invalid. My life is over. I'm not useful. I can't do anything. And I said, you know, it's oftentimes those people that we feel are, they don't look like the prayer warrior, or they don't look like people didn't think Jesus looked like the savior of the world. But it's usually those people that are the most powerful and really the most perfect image and likeness of the suffering Christ, don't
suffering
you think?
Suffering Christ, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just praise and thank God we'll have to have you back. We're coming to, we never did get to the gospel today, but we pretty much talked about the psalm today, trust in the Lord and do good.
Absolutely, and do good.
And do good.
And love.
Yes. And so my brothers and sisters, we only have about a minute and a half left, and we're going to go into prayer. We're going to close with a prayer. And I would remind everybody before I forget, not this weekend coming, but the weekend after Memorial Day weekend, we will be having our 6th annual healing retreat at Malvern Retreat House. It's a time to come apart. It's a time to be still and allow the Lord to move in you and through you. We will be having a generational healing mass for all those things that you might have seen in your family life, generation after generation, still carrying on these same addictions. We will be having a healing mass, and you, if you don't have the people with you, you can bring their pictures and we'll put them on the altar too. It'll be a time of great witnessing and sharing about what God has done in someone's lives, how they've been healed. And it's a time to come away to a quiet place and to be with Jesus. Allow Him to do the surgery that He needs to do on each of our hearts. Speak to our spirits and our minds and make us whole. So my brothers and sisters, we praise and thank you for this day. And we ask that you now, Lord, in a very special way would come upon your people. Lord, we come together as sisters in Christ today in this radio studio, and we pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to flood the souls of all of our listeners. We pray, Lord God, today that your word will go out and you tell us it never returns void. It does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing. Water them, Lord. Drench them in the living waters of your Spirit. Heal their hearts and comfort their souls. And fill them, Lord Jesus, with the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that if they were the only ones living, you would have died all over again just for them. Touch them in mind, in body, and in spirit today, Lord. Let them know they're not alone, that you have sent them the paraclete to not only move in them and through them, but to walk alongside of them every day of their lives. Mama Mary, enfold them in your mantle, bringing them close to the Sacred Heart of your Son, Jesus. And if you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you. Till we meet again, God bless.